Okay, Shalom Uvracha to everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning share at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Again, Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. We should be zocha to have, we have two others this year, so we should have a double blessing of Simcha. If it's Mishanichnas Adar Marvin B'Simcha, so this year it should be Halavai B'Karov Mamish Mishanichnas Adar Marbim b'simcha, and again marbim b'simcha. Halavai, amen v'amen. I've been asked to announce that there's Tehillim after, if you are able to stay. Somebody, I'm not sure who, gives out the booklets. So if you could please stay, if you have time to please stay for Tehillim after. Imalei Hashem, kol mishalus libeinu letova, b'zchus tfilas rabim, amen v'amen. So let us get into our learning. So this is really a continuation of last week with a continuation, a further elaboration, new insights. Last week was part one, this week is part two. So last week we spoke about the Shloshim on Har Herzl that my husband, my son, and I were sadly zocha to attend. The Shloshim of Elisha Yehonatan Lover, who fell, it was exactly 2 weeks ago today, because it was on, like I told you, Tu B'Shvat. Exactly 2 weeks ago today, we went through Techia Lobert's Shatichia, his mother's husband. If you missed last week's shir, I highly recommend you should go online and listen to it. And she spoke so powerfully about Gamay Achri, Advarim Hakashim, Ovi Malacha, Ani Omeid. I'm just reminding you. And what is the Ani, or rather, who is the Ani that stands despite all of the difficulties and the travails that befall us as a nation? And so eloquently and so beautifully that she said, yes, the pshat is the Ani is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course. But she said, Ani is Ani. Ani is me who continues to get up and cook and clean and shop and do what needs to be done in the house. Ani is Abba. She went through all of the siblings. And then she said, Ani is Knesset Yisrael. Ani is all of you, she said, who continue to go on despite the situation in which we find ourselves. And she ended by saying that when she hears Imale, Imale, don't be sad. And she says to her son, you should know that we have chosen life. That is how we ended last year. That is what we spoke about last time. That's just a recap. You should still go and listen to the shir if you missed it, even though I brought everybody up so we would know where we are. So this week's parsha, you do not need a chumash. You do need the handout that's on the bima, however, okay? Please make sure you have it. So this week's parsha is Parshas Mishpatim. And at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah resumes the narrative of Har Sinai. Parshas Yisro is the narrative of Har Sinai. Hachana l'matin Torah, Shloshes Yimei Hagbalah, the great vision of God at Har Sinai, the voice of God, and the Aseres HaDibros. And Parshas Mishpatim, Prakim Chaf Aleph, Chaf Beis, and Chaf Gemel, we have law after law after law, a lot of halachos mitzvos regarding damages, ownership, borrowers, lenders, injuries, payments. It's really how to create a society. And how to create a society, not any society, societal law, which is Torah law. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, the very end, in Perach Chaf Dalet, the Torah resumes the narrative of Har Sinai. And we have the famous Nasa V'Nishma. It is not in Parshas Yisro. It is not when the Aseres HaDibros were said. The famous Nasa V'Nishma is at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. So I'm just going to quote a few psukim. You do not need the chumash, just the handout, okay? But the pasuk tells us in Peruch, I mean, you do. Someone asked me when we were walking in, do we need a chumash? I said, no. Then I amended that, and I said, you do need a chumash, but you don't need a chumash right now for this shir. And I spoke in Eretz Yisrael, two Shabbosos ago, Shabbos afternoon, there was a Shabbos lady shir in Shari Chesed, I spoke. So first I went to a friend who was walking me to the shir because I didn't know where it was in Shari Chesed. It was just easier for me to go to my friend's house where I know where she had to get to her from where I was staying. And then we went together. She knows the location of the shir. So when I got to my friend's house, I said, will there be a chumash at the place where I'm speaking? So her husband said, if there's no chumash, you shouldn't speak there. So I said, actually, if there's no chumash, they especially need to hear a Torah shiur. There was a chumash. But lemaisa, of course you need a chumash. The question is, do you need it for the shia? All right. Perech Avdal Pasuk Zayin. So the famous Vayikach Sefer. No, I'll tell you when to go to your handout. I'm just quoting a couple of psukim. I'll tell you when you need your handout. Vayikach Sefer Bris Vayikra Ba'oznei Ha'am. Moshe took the Book of the Covenant. He read it in the ears of the people. Vayomru, and they famously said, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. Here it is. All that God has spoken, we will do and we will listen. Vayikach, and Moshe took the blood and he sprinkled it on the nation, purification and cleansing. This is the blood of the covenant that God made with you, with all these things. Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu went up, and the 70 elders. So Rashi and Chazal explain there were different demarcations, the point where Aaron could go to, the point where the 70 elders could go to, the point where Nadav and Avihu could go to. Moshe, of course, was the only one who was truly allowed onto the mountain of the tribe of Matan Torah. And now the Pasuk tells you, and this is what you have. Look at Perach of Dalet Pasuk Yod. These sheets have Shemos. It tells us that they had some sort of vision of God. So clearly we don't understand what that means. But that's what the Pasuk tells us. Vayiru es Elokei Yisrael. They saw the God of Israel. Somehow the heavens were open at the time of Matan Torah. It was the greatest revelation that ever was, and until Yemos HaMashiach, at least that ever will be. They saw the God of Israel. V'tachas raglav kemaise livnas hasapir. And under his feet, they saw the throne of God, kaviyochol, as if so to speak. Under God's feet, so to speak, was like the formation of a brick of sapphire, livnas, levenim, chomer u'levenim. They worked with mortar and bricks. They were enslaved with levenim bricks. So there was some sort of sapphire brick under the feet of the throne of Hashem, uke'etzem ha'shamayim letohar. And like the appearance of the heaven in purity. So obviously we don't understand this pasuk. We don't know what they saw, but it doesn't make any sense to us. We have no way of conceptualizing even what it means that the heavens were open and they beheld a vision of the Ribono Shel Olam. We cannot understand that, but we do know that they saw under his feet some sort of image, some sort of sapphire brick. So Rashi says, which I did not give you on the handout, so I'm just going to quote Rashi. So Rashi says, why under God's throne, under God's feet, his footstool, so to speak, was a sapphire brick? Why not something else? So Rashi says, he haisa lefanev bishas hashibud. Remember, Yitzhak Mitzrayim is 7 weeks before Matan Torah. They just left Egypt. And before they left Egypt, for over 100 years, they were enslaved. And they were enslaved by Avoda Kasha, by Avodas Parach, by Avoda Besada, by Chomer Ubilavanim. Their work was in mortar and brick. So Rashi says, this is Rashi to 24:10, which is not on your handout. He haisa lefanim bishas hashiba. This brick was before God the entire time the children of Israel were enslaved. These carts are rasan shel Yisrael. Why? As those are remembrance, so to speak, as if God needs a remembrance of the tzaros. Klal Yisrael were going through tzaros. So he had a brick before him to remember their tzaros. Shahayu mishubadim b'maisei levanim. Rashi's quoting Medrash Rabbah. They were enslaved with the work of bricks. So what did Hashem put before him? He had a zecher l'churban. When you build a home, you have to have a zecher l'churban. And Kadosh Baruch Hu had, so to speak, a zecher l'churban. That's what Rashi tells us. It was before him at the time of the enslavement. It was a zecher, lizkar, Rashi says that. To remember the suffering of Israel because they were enslaved with bricks. That's this week's parasha. That this sapphire brick is before Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let us look at Targum Yonasan. I thank my son Shmuel. A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. We always are talking about the matzav in Eretz Yisrael. And he showed me this Targum Yonasan. Somebody, I don't remember which Rebbe in Yeshiva spoke about it, I don't know. But I thank my son Shmuel for showing me this, bringing this Targum Yonasan to my attention. You could go to the cave of Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel. Where is he buried? I was so excited when I went there. Amuka. When I went there 4.5 years ago to the cave of Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel, I was extremely excited. He is the famous Tana who's buried in Amuka. Okay, so Lamaisa, he is an Aramaic interpretation of Chumash. Targum Onkelos is also an Aramaic interpretation of Chumash. They're not translations. There are elucidations and interpretations, but Targum Yonasan is much more midrashic, much more expansive and midrashic based than Targum Unklus. So let's look. It is in Aramaic. We also have the English. We're going to go through it together. So we've established the psukim tell us, and Chazal quoted by Rashi, that Hashem had a brick at the time of the Shibun Mitzrayim. It was before him the whole time. Hashem constantly remembered the pain of Israel. And at the time of Matan Torah, Aaron, the Zakenim, Nadav Avihu, when the heavens open, they see this sapphire brick. Okay. Targum Yonasan ben Uziyam. Uzekafu Nadav Avihu Yas Einehon. I know it's Aramaic, but some of this you should be able to understand. You should be able to understand that. Nadav and Avihu lifted their eyes, correct. And Nadav and Avihu lifted their eyes. By the way, Chazal say that they were really Chayav Misa from this point because they saw God. We have many instances in Tanakh. Moshe hid his face by the burning bush. Ki Yari Mehabir Al Hashem. He was afraid to look at Hashem. And Yaakov Avinu in Parak Lamed Beis Bereishis, he calls the place Piniel, ki ra'isi pani, alokim panim al panim, va tinatzel nafshi. The fact that Yaakov Avinu says, I saw God face to face and my soul was saved, indicates that really it was a nace that he was saved. Really what? His soul should not have been saved. If he says this place is such a nace, I'm calling it Piniel because I saw God face to face and my soul was saved. So what does that indicate to you? That if somebody sees the face of God, so to speak, then their soul should not be saved. So Chazal say, Nadav and Avihu are already Chayiv Misa from here. But Hashem did not want to bring mourning, avelus, into the joy of Simchas Torah. I didn't say that sentence on purpose, but what a sentence in light of October the 7th. At the time of the giving of the Torah, Hashem did not want to mar the joy of the giving of the Torah with avelus. Therefore, he waited for Nadav and Avihu's death to a later point in time, but they were already chayiv from here. Okay. Uzakfu Nadav Avihu Yas Einehon. Like you said, we understood this. Nadav and Avihu lifted their eyes. V'chamun Yas Ikara Eloka D'Yisrael. Ikara, what is the preciousness, the yakar? Yakar Tferes Kudwaso, it's other. And they saw the glory, the yakar of the God of Israel. Utichos Apipurin Dirigloi. Apipurin is a special kind of chair that the Gemara discusses. Is anyone familiar with the Gemara? Masachas Sota Yud Beis. When Aaron and Miriam danced before their mother when she got remarried, Yocheved, to Amram, it says she was sitting in this chair. It's the same word, this Aramaic word, and they danced before her. Fine. Utechos apipurin dirogui. So now you know, under the feet of his footstool, under the feet of this chair, under the throne of God, dirogui is his feet, raglayim, kaviachal. Dimatia techos kiruse. It was found under his throne. He ka'oved avan sapirunun. You should understand that. There was the making of a sapphire. Avin sapirun. What was it? A sapphire brick. A stone of sapphire. Midkar. Now, I just want to tell you something for your reference. Aramaic. Zachor. Instead of a zayin, there's a dalid. Also, zahav. Instead of a zayin, it's a dalid. So, dalid hey beis in Aramaic. When you see it in Targum Unklus, it is zahav. Zachor in Aramaic is Dalet Chof Resh, correct. It's very cool, by the way. Over the years, I found, just personally, it's so interesting. Like, it's almost like learning another language. It's really cool. It's amazing. Okay? It's like learning another ancient language. Midkar, which is Zachor, she abuda disha ibudu mitzray yas b'nei Yisrael. You should all know what that means. As it was a remembrance of the enslavement that the Egyptians enslaved the children of Israel, bitina ubilavinim. What is that? With chomer ubilavinim, with mortar and with bricks. So far there hasn't really been a chiddush yet in Targum Yonasan. He's explaining what we explained by the pasuk and Rashi. Nadav and Avihu lifted their eyes. They saw the glory of the God of Israel, and under this chair, under the throne of God, and under his feet, they see some sort of sapphire stone. It is a remembrance of the shibud of the Bnei Yisrael by the Midrashim with mortar and bricks. Now, here we go. Vahavu nishaya bitashon yastina im givurehon. And the woman, the wives, nishaya, the wives, nashim tzidkanyos, the wives were working, were treading the clay, treading the mortar, im givurehon, with their husbands. That's exactly right. Who is working in the field? All of them, the men and the women. And the women were also working in the field with the mortar and the bricks. Havas taman riva mifan kasa me abarta. Me abarta is pregnancy. Ayin bet resh Aramaic pregnancy. There was a young, delicate, pregnant woman there. The apilas yas uvra. What does it mean? Her pregnancy fell. Apilas yas uvra. What does it mean? She lost the pregnancy. V'itibatash imtina. And it became mixed with the mortar and the bricks. This is a time of slave labor. It's a time of whipping. It's a time of oppression. It's not a kimpaturin aid society. They were torturing the B'nai Yisrael. They were beating them. They were enslaving them. And Rachmana Litzlan. We don't appreciate Shibud Mitzrayim, but we have more of a sense of what Nazi Germany was. Yimach Shemam V'zichem of all of our enemies. So this pregnant woman, the women had to work with their husbands, and they had to work in the fields, and the work was so back-breaking that this one woman, she lost her pregnancy. Rachmana Litzlan, she miscarried. The baby came out. The baby did not survive. And you have to keep working. And the baby got mixed up with all the mortar and the clay. The pain of Klal Yisrael and Galus. The hatred of the Umas HaOlam. Nachas Gavriel, the angel Gavriel came. Va'avad mine levente. Angel Gavriel came down and he made a brick. Va'avad mine levinsa. He made a brick from the clay and from this baby. Va'aske the Shmei Meroma. What did he do with this brick that he had made with the remains of the Jewish child? What did he do? Thank you very much. Va'aske l'shmei Merama. What did he do with it? You should know what that means. Shmei Maram. What did he do? He brought it up to Shemaya. So it's not just any brick that was under the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all the children, Rachmana Litzlan, who were thrown into the river. It's all the fetuses, Rachmana Litzlan, that were miscarried because of the Shibud. It's all the graves on Har Herzl. All the tears of our nation that are in a formation of a sapphire brick before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the angel Gavriel came down to this field and he took the remains of the baby that was mixed with the mortar and he made it into a brick and he took that up to Hashem. Vaskine gilud gedak techos apipurin demare alma. And he put it under the throne, under the footstool, under the feet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was what this brick was, says Targum Yonasan. Not just any brick, and not just the sapphire brick. B'damayichai, b'damayichai, v'avarilach, v'erech misposesis b'damayich, says the Navi Yechezkel. Rashi quotes at the Parshas Bo, we say it in the Haggadah Shal Pasach. It's the blood, the tears, the sweat, the pain, the loss upon loss that is brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gavriel is the Malach of Jewish destiny, says Rav Soloveitchik. And he brings this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk tells us in Amos, Parak Hei Pasuk Beis, on your handout, Nafla lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen. She will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. Nitisha al adbasa ein mekima. What does that word nitisha mean? Look at Rashi to Amos. Nitisha al admasa, how do we translate that? Kol davar hamushlach umutal v'nofeitz al sadeh karu nitisha. Anything that is cast down, that is spread out, that is lying on the ground, is called Netisha. That's what Rashi says. So Nafla lo tosiv kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen. She will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. This is a very hopeless pasuk, seemingly hopeless pasuk. She has fallen. She will not arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. Nitisha al admasa. She is scattered. She is falling. She is spread about. She is lying upon her land. Ein mekima. There is no way for her to get up. The Gemara tells us in Masachas Brachos Dalet Amud Beis. If you look in Ashrei, which we call Ashrei, but it's not really Ashrei. It's really Tehillah the David, which is chapter 145, Kuf Mem Hei of Tehillim. Tehillah the David. If you look at the Psukim of Ashrei, I'm calling it Ashrei because that's what everyone calls it, okay? There's every letter of the Aleph Beis, Ashrei Oshrei Veisacha. However, the letter Nun famously is missing, okay? So the Gemara asks, why is the letter Nun missing from Ashrei? So the Gemara tells us, Brachos Dalet Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Mipnei ma lo ne'amar Nun ba'Ashrei. Why don't we have the letter Nun in Ashrei? Oh, so even the Gemara calls it Ashrei. Here we go. Okay, so that's quite ancient. So we're good if we're calling it Ashrei. Mipnei sheyeshba mapalaton shel sone Yisrael. This is not really about the sone Yisrael, but the Gemara doesn't want to say that it talks about the downfall of Israel, so the Gemara makes a euphemism. And you should understand that we're not talking about the downfall of the enemies of Israel, we're talking about the downfall of Israel. Why don't we say Nun in Ashrei? Because it indicates the downfall of Bnei Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, Dichtiv, like the Pasuk says, Nafla lo tosiv kum besulas Yisrael, she has fallen, she will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. So therefore we don't say Nun, because it begins with the letter Nun, Nafla. The Gemara then continues, and the Gemara says, B'ma'arava mitartse le'hachi. In the West, they interpret the verse like this. What's the West? When the Babylonian Talmud quotes the West, who are they quoting? The sages in Eretz Yisrael. The sages in Eretz Yisrael. Think of the map. Well, I don't have one right here, but you all know what the map of Israel looks like in your mind. So when they're on the eastern side, so when they say the sages in the west say, who are they referring to? The sages in Eretz Yisrael. B'ma'arava mitartse le'hachi, nafla velo tosiv lin pol ad kum besulas Yisrael. Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak, afilu hachi chazer David usam usemachan beruach hakodesh shenemar somech Hashem lechol hanofim. I didn't translate that on purpose, because let's look at the Biur Steinsaltz. Okay? How does the Steinsaltz clarification? Steinsaltz Gemara, which is a Hebrew translation, a very clear Hebrew translation of the Gemara. So let's see. The West, i.e. the sages in Israel, offer an entirely different interpretation of Nafla lo tosiv kum besulas Yisrael to this pasuk from Amos. So whereas the sages in Bavel say we leave it out of Ashrei because it means she has fallen, she will not continue to rise, O virgin daughter of Israel, she is scattered about her earth, there is no way to pick her up. The sages in the West, i.e. in Eretz Yisrael, say something totally different. Let's look. Kidei l'racheich es mashma'u pasuk zeh atzuma. In order to soften the intention of this pasuk, Hayu b'ma'arava mitartse le'hachi. In Eretz Yisrael mi'yishayvim oso kach. The sages in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, wanted to soften the harshness of this great verse. And therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, they give a different interpretation. Al yedei shinui b'pisuk. You need to change the punctuation of the verse a little bit. Remember, the Chumash does not have, Tanakh does not have actual punctuation. We give a punctuation. So if you change the punctuation, you change the meaning of the verse. Elokim yira hasa la'ola b'ni. Elokim yira hasa la'ola b'ni. That means two very different things. So if you change the punctuation, there's different intentions. So let's look. Nafla velo tosif lin pol od. Kumi besulas Yisrael. The sages in Eretz Yisrael say something different, very, very, very different. Nafla velo tosiflin pol od. She has fallen, but she will not continue to fall. Kama kum besulas Yisrael. Arise, O virgin daughter of Israel. Look back at the pasuk. Go back to the pasuk of Amos. Amos, please. Look back at the pasuk. Okay? According to the sages in the east, in Babel, the Babylonian Talmud, Nafla, comma, lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. She has fallen, comma. She will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. The sages in the west, in Eretz Yisrael, say, Nafla lo tosif, comma, kum besulas Yisrael. It means two totally different things. Nafla lo tosif, the falling of Klal Yisrael will not continue anymore. Kum, arise, O virgin daughter of Israel. Beautiful. Let's go back to Beer Steinsatz. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, afilu hachi kach, chazar David v'samchem b'ruach ha-kodesh. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak points out, where this is Steinsatz on the Gemara. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak points out, afilu hachi, even so, chazar David u'samachem b'ruach ha-kodesh. David went back and he did include nun, a little bit, into Hilal David with ruach ha-kodesh, divine inspiration. Even though David HaMelech in Tehillah the David, chapter 145 of Tehillim, did not include a pasuk that begins with Nun, because Nun alludes to falling, Safa David Baruch HaKodesh pasuk zeh b'makom shohu atzmo hishmit es hanun b'mizmero. Nevertheless, David with Ruach HaKodesh prophesies this pasuk in a place when he himself omitted the Nun from this song. However, what's the pasuk that with Ruach HaKodesh does allude to Nun? The HaPasuk HaBa HaMaschil B'Samech Hiriyu Samech Hashem L'chol Hanoflim V'Zokev L'chol Kfufim. So David HaMelech did not entirely omit the Nun. With Ruach HaKodesh, he does include the verse. Hashem is Samech, Hashem supports all those who have fallen. He causes the bent to be upright, to be straightened up. V'im kein, samcha David, Ruach HaKodesh, l'noflim v'odadam. And therefore, in Ruach HaKodesh, David HaMelech refers to both those who fall and those who gain strength. Sha'avki nifila besulas Yisrael, somech Hashem l'chol noflim. Even though we know that besulas Yisrael has fallen, so many times in history, besulas Yisrael has fallen. Nevertheless, Shomeich Hashem Mechol Anofim, Hashem supports all those who have fallen. So I want to talk about this idea of Mekima, Tekuma. The pasuk says in Amos, again, look at the pasuk quickly, Naflalo Tosif Kun Besulas Yisrael. So how exactly do you explain that pasuk? It depends if you're in Bavel or in Eretz Yisrael. If you're in Bavel and you're in Chutz La'aretz, you say, "Oy gevalt, it's so terrible in Chutz La'aretz, nafla, we have fallen down, lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael, how will we ever arise again? We don't see any future." If you're in Eretz Yisrael, you see hope, you see the Shechina, you see redemption, you say, "Nafla lo tosif, we won't continue to fall, kum besulas Yisrael." The end of the pasuk, however, tells us, "Netisha al admasa ein mekima." She is spread out. She is scattered upon her ground. Ein mekima. We have this idea of kumi uri, shir daberi, of arising up again. Look in Tehillim, Perek Chof, on your handout, psukim ches tu tes. You know these psukim, they're very famous. Eide baracha ve'eide basusim, v'anachnu b'shem Hashem Elokeinu nazgir. These ones go and they trust in their chariots. These ones go and they put their hope in their horses. Today you would say in their tanks and their missiles and their RPGs and their drones. That's what they trust in. But anachnu, us, we know that those are just shlichim. Those are just tools of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The real power behind a tank is not the tank itself. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu who's on our side. We do not go with trusting in anything finite in this world. We trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we go to war. Hey, Makaru Vinafalu, they kneel and fall. Va'anachnu kamnu. Vanis Odad. They kneel, they stumble, they trip and they fall. But for us, as David HaMelech, kamnu, we rise. Vanis Odad, we gain strength. I saw written by Rabbi Doron Perez in the new, not so new, I guess, in the recent HaMizrahi. Rabbi Doron Perez is the chairman of World Mizrahi, and his son was kidnapped on 10/7 and is still has not yet been returned. And he's a very well-known person because of his position, and a well-known rabbi and personality because of his position in World Mizrahi. So in the recent HaMizrahi, which my friend picked up for me in Israel, my hostess, she says, I got it for you. It's on Tekuma. Did anyone see it? The HaMizrahi, the recent HaMizrahi magazine on Tekuma, on the Gaza envelope, and Knesset Yisrael will rise again. So in there, he has an article. He has an article in every HaMizrahi because he is the chairman. And he writes a very, very interesting and beautiful idea. Something I never thought of before. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, which is not in your handout, so just listen. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Tzadik Yipol Sheva Vekam Urashayim Yikashlu Bera. Tzadik Yipol Sheva Vekam. Here we go again. Tekuma. Urashayim Yikashlu Bera. What is the goddess? What makes a righteous person righteous? Not that he is so righteous and never falls. Tzadik yipol, the tzadik will also fall. He's a human being, unless you're an angel, a robot, or a computer, even a computer could crash. So really, unless you're an angel, you're going to have nefila at some point or another. We're talking about spiritual nefila in this world. It's not possible. Tzadik yipol, the righteous person will fall. Sheva, he might even fall 7 times. But as many times as he falls, what's he going to do? Become, he'll get up again. What is the wickedness of the Rasha? Urashayim yikashlu bera'a. The Rasha, when he falls and stumbles, he stays fallen. He does not pick himself back up. Rabbi Doron Perez writes in the recent HaMizrahi something very interesting. I forget who he's quoting, but I read it in his article. These psukim from Tehillim also teach us the enemy falls and we fall. Look, but they stay low and we rise back up. How do we see that? Hema karu vinafalu va'anachnu kamnu. So if you need to say, I get up, what does that mean? What does it mean? It means I had fallen down. That's exactly right. If you need to say, I will get up again, that implies, by the very Lashon, that saying, I need to rise again, implies that you had a falling. So this Pasuk, just like the Pasuk of Mishlei, has a similar connotation and meaning. Heima, what's the difference between the Rishayim and the Tzadikim? Between Knesset Yisrael and the wicked Umas Olam who want to destroy us? When they will fall, they will fall. They will not have Tekuma. Ancient Egypt, where are they? In museums. They're fascinating, but they're in museums. And where is Titus? On the Arch of Titus. And where is ancient Greece? I don't know, in legends of the Greek, I don't know, mythology. Our enemies, when they fall, they stay fallen. Hey, makaru v'nafalu. Va'anachnu kamnu, vanis odor. Kamnu does not only imply we're standing upright. It doesn't imply that at all. It implies that we fell also. But after we fall, we get up again. Vanis odor, and we gain strength. That's what he writes. It's a very new way of looking at this pasuk. It's very beautiful, something that I never considered. So a tzaddik has to have, and not only on an individual level, when we fall with sin, we must have the strength to rise up again. My son-in-law told me a beautiful vart. Let me see. It's not written into the shir, so I think I remember. It's cool. Here we go. What the Yetzer tov. What the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer HaTov tells you after sin. So before you sin, the Yetzer Tov says, don't do it. What are you thinking? One sin is going to put so much distance between you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't do it. The Yetzer Hara says, it's just one sin. Who cares? Who's going to notice? No one's paying any attention. Go ahead. After you sin, the Yetzer Hara says, who cares? It was just one sin. No one's paying any... No. No. After you sin, no. The Yetzer Tov says, okay, you're a person. It was just one sin. Hashem still loves you. You could still be close to him. Pick yourself up. It's okay. The Yetzer Hara says, you idiot! You think God wants to have anything to do with you now? I told you not to do it. What were you thinking? Listen again, it's gewaldic. But the Yetzer Tov tells you before sin, the Yetzer Hara tells you after sin. But the Yetzer Hara tells you before sin, the Yetzer Tov tells you after sin. Listen, you're going to sit, okay? You're thinking of, I don't know, eating something that's not kosher. You're thinking of going to a place where a yid should not be. You're thinking of speaking the Lashon Hara, whatever it is, okay? The Yetzer Hara says, Hashem doesn't really care. Of course you could do one sin. Nothing's going to happen to your relationship with God. Don't worry about your Olam Haba. Just live in the moment and enjoy. Hashem will still love you. The Yetzer Tov is screaming. He's putting warning signals. Cliff ahead. Don't do it. One sin. Slow. What are you thinking? Stop. After you sin, the Yetzer Tov says, pick yourself up. It was just one sin. Hashem loves you very much. He still wants to be close to you. You can do teshuva and be close to God. And the Yetzer Hara says, you think God wants to have anything to do with you? You think your avodas Hashem is precious to God? You may as well just sin your whole rest of your life because Hashem's not interested in being with you. It's a very interesting perspective and a very true tactic of the b'chol avavcha b'shnei yitzirecha. So Knesset Yisrael always has to pick themselves up. Not only when we sin individually, but it doesn't mean you should go sin. But when that Yetzer Hara comes to you after sin and says, you think Hashem wants to have anything to do with you? You just spoke Lashon Hara. Now you're going to pick up the Siddur and Daven Mincha. You think Hashem wants to hear? You say, Asher Yoshua Vesecha Adjoluch Asala. After you hung up the phone with your friend talking 20 minutes of Lashon Hara and gossip and about neighbors and scandals, now you're going to daven to Hashem. So that was pretty bad. You have to figure out how to do Teshuvah. But it doesn't mean you should miss your Mincha. And the Yetzer Tov says, you can do teshuvah, you can be better, you can pick yourself up. Hashem still wants a relationship with you. So first of all, every person has to tap into this koach of tekuma. Hey, makaru v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'anis odar. Even after sin, you can gain strength and revitalize yourself and start all over again. But this is also true on a national level. It's not only true on an individual level of our personal avodas Hashem. We always have to constantly be reassessing, are my actions correct? Are my choices correct? Are my words correct? And if not, so we can do something about it. We can change. We can have a tekuma. How do you want to read the pasuk from Amos, like the sages in Bava or the sages in Eretz Yisrael? Nafla. Lo tosiv kum besuas Yisrael. So sit on the ground on Tisha B'Av, tear your clothing, and it's terrible. Or naflo lo tosif, kum besulas Yisrael. It means two totally different things. Not only is it true for every individual and their path in life, there are a lot of, did anyone have the book? When my kids were little, we used to read, We're Going on a Bear Hunt. Do you know the book, We're Going on a Bear Hunt? Are there any teachers here? It's a beautiful book. So there's a lot of stumble trip in life. A Jew has to have the koach to rise up, to trust in Hashem, not in horses and chariots, to rise up. And also, as a nation, we have proven time and again throughout our long and bitter history, and it has been a very bitter sojourn through exile, we have proven that we have the koach, even after we fall as a nation, to rise up again. I just saw this morning. My brother shared it with me, and I saw it just now. I didn't have time to put it into Shear. The IDF announced, I'm sure you saw, I hope you saw, not I hope you saw, but it's important to see. The IDF announced that on Shabbat, on Shabbat he fell. The IDF Defense Forces say Sergeant First Class Reservist Shimon Yehoshua Asulin 24-year-old resident of Beit Shemesh, was killed in battle on Shabbat. You may have seen this. Ashulin from the 924th Engineering Battalion of the Harel Brigade was killed amid fighting in the southern Gaza Strip. He's the 225th soldier to have fallen in the ground operation in Gaza. That's not including October 7th. Shimon Yehoshua Asulin, 24 years old. I saw an article from the Levaya, the Hespedim. But my brother just sent this morning. Hatzava shechayal tzahal Shimon Asulin, shenimtza'a la'achar moto. The will, the spiritual will, a letter of the soldier, the IDF soldier, Shimon Asulin, that was found after he was killed. And then it says, Dor shel giborim. We are living in a generation of heroes. What did he write? Ta'arganu arachat kiroki tova lechaveira. I don't know what that means. And I didn't have time to look anything up. So I know I'm probably going to get 10 emails telling me on WhatsApp what it means. That's what happened last time, Baruch Hashem. Ta'arganu arachat kiroki. It's probably not a Lashon Kodesh word. Okay, I'm skipping the first line. Al tita ablu harbe. Don't excessively mourn. Tihiyus mechim. What an appropriate message. This was just found. Mishenichnas Adar. Al tita blu harbe. Do not excessively mourn. Tihiyus mechim. Be happy in life. Ani mibasot sham lamala. Avo levaker etchem midei pam. I'll be looking down on you from above. I will come to visit you sometimes. Ad hanitzachon. Until victory, sof, until the end. The picture that comes along with it is a picture of him in his army gear and his tefillin. Don't mourn excessively. You should be happy. I will be up there looking down on you from above. I will come to visit you sometimes. We will continue ad hanitzachon, ad hasof. Knesset Yisrael, Hashem Yimkom Damo. Knesset Yisrael has the koach that when they fall, they rise up again. The Pasuk in Amos speaks about Mekima. The Pasuk in Tehillim speaks about Tekuma. And this is the midah of Knesset Yisrael. So is the Pasuk from Mishlei, which I neglected to put on your sheet. Tzadiki poshava vikom. So clearly a midah of Knesset Yisrael is the ability to rise up again. Somebody emailed me yesterday. Sometimes someone says something or you read something and it just makes something click in your mind. In her email yesterday, she spoke both about revenge and rising up. And all of a sudden I realized, it made me realize something I never thought of before. And that is that the Shoresh in Lashon HaKodesh for revenge and the Shoresh in Lashon HaKodesh for rising up are the same. Nekama Mikima. That's very interesting. Nikom takum. So since we know that nothing in Lashon HaKodesh is an accident, like we stress all the time, that means that there has to be a connection between these two verbs, to take revenge and to rise up. So let's look at the pasuk from Devarim. Ha'azinu. Perak Lamed Beis, Mem Gimel. It says 32:43. Harininu Goyim Amo. This is right at the end of Hazinu, after Moshe sings the whole song of the history of the destiny of Klal Yisrael. Harininu Goyim Amo. Sing, S-I-N-G. Sing, you nations, the praise of his people. Kidam avadam avadav yikom. Vinakam yashiv litzarav. The blood of his servants he will avenge. The blood of, why is his name Yehoshua? I want to say his full name. Shimon. I think it was. The blood of Shimon Yehoshua Asulin, he will avenge. This morning in Davening, I was thinking about Halal Yafa Ariel. Remember her? It was summer vacation, the beginning of summer vacation. She was in her bed in Hebron. And the Paley brothers, it was just their yurt site. And Hillel Fold, and Elisha Yehonatan Lober, and the baby whose remains were mixed in with the clay and the mortar in the fields in Egypt, that is immortalized for eternity in the brick, on the sapphire brick under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. And in the end of days, Moshe says, B'yamos HaMashiach, with the ultimate geula, Harininu Goyim Amo, sing you nation, the praises of his nation. Ki dam avadav yikom, the blood of his servants he will avenge. Vinakam yashiv litzarav, and that in revenge he will take out upon his enemies, he will pay back his enemies. V'chiper az maso amo, and at that time there will be atonement, cleansing, appeasement for the land of Israel, and for his nation, Klal Yisrael. So we see in the end of days, ultimately, nekama, the ultimate nekama, is in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not in our hands. But in the end of days, Hashem will take nekama on all the Ummos Olam throughout history who have striven to destroy us. And he will avenge and he will pay them back. He will give it back to his enemies, what they have given back to us. And then he will bring atonement for his land and for his nation. Another place we see that Hashem is the one who will take nekama is in Tehillim, next source on your handout. Again, these sheets are full of Seamus, okay? You're welcome to keep them, but if not, there's a Seamus box outside the office. Kel Nekamos Hashem. Kel Nekamos Hofia. Hashem is a God to whom Nekama belongs. Vengeance is God's. Hashem is the God of vengeance. Hofia, shine forth. Hashem, isn't it time? It's not full enough, the section of Kedoshim v'giborim shemasu nafsham akidus Hashem up there in Shemayim, my whole grandparents' generation. How many neshamos? Kel nekamos Hashem, Hashem, you are the God of nekama. Kel nekamos, you are the God who will take vengeance, not us. Hofia, shine forth. So we see that this idea of mekima, tzadiki poshava v'kam, hey makar v'nefalu v'anachnu kamnu, this idea of Mekima and this idea of Nikama, Yikom, are the same root. So this was really fascinating to me because it's very compelling. It's a law, an ironclad law in Lashon HaKodesh, that if Shoreshim share a root, they have to be connected. If words share a Shoresh, they have to be connected, even if you don't know what the connection is. So it can't be an accident that Nikama and Mekima are the same root. I thought that was very interesting. Nekama is revenge, and Tekuma is rising, rebuilding, picking oneself up, standing upright again. So I was thinking to myself, what is the connection here? Perhaps, listen carefully to what I'm going to propose. The lesson is that only in the end of days, when Hashem takes his revenge on our enemies, we've quoted two places, from Ha'azinu and from Tehillim, where we see that vengeance, revenge belongs to God. In the end of days, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take Nekama upon our enemies, upon Amalek, upon Bechol Dor V'Dor She'amdim Aleinu L'Chaloseinu, Zachor S'Lashor S'Alecha Amalek, when Hashem in the end of days takes Nekama, only then will we merit the everlasting and complete tekuma. What is the connection between the word nekama and the word mekima? There has to be a lesson that connects them. Otherwise, Hashem would not have given them the same shoresh, Lashon HaKodesh. I am proposing that the answer is when Hashem finally, Be'ezer Hashem, Bekar Mamish, takes revenge on our enemies, Kel Nekamos Hashem, Kel Nekamos, Hofia, shine forth, Ki Dam Avadav Yikom. When will it be? We hope now, today. Only when Hashem takes that revenge against our enemies, Nekama, will we merit the complete and everlasting Tekuma. Until that day when Hashem totally destroys our enemies, we cannot have a complete tekuma. There will always be another fall because that's the nature of galus. So now I want to offer a new way to interpret the Gemara. I want to offer another way to interpret the Gemara. Let's look back at the Gemara Maseches Brachos Dalet Amud Beis. With new eyes, let's look at this. I'm not starting with the first paragraph of the Gemara. The first lines of the Gemara tell us why Nun is not included in Ashrei. Okay, let's just do it fast. Rabbi Yochanan says, why doesn't it have Nun in Ashrei? Because it indicates the falling of the downfall of Israel. Actually, I do need to start there. In the West, they say, in the East. In Bavel, in Chutz La'aretz, they say, Nafla lo tosif kum. She has fallen. She will not be able to arise, O virgin daughter of Israel. Here we go. Based on what I am proposing is the connection between Nakama and Tekuma, that only when Kel Nakamos Hashem, Kel Nakamos Hophia will reveal himself to the whole world and take the everlasting Nakama, will we have an everlasting Tekuma. Therefore, in Bavel, i.e. in Chutz La'aretz, they say, the attitude of Chutz La'aretz, the impact of exile, in Bavel they say she is fallen. She will not arise, O virgin daughter of Israel. Why? Because the land of Chutz La'aretz is not a land of redemption. It is not the land of Tekuma. It is not the land where Hashem will take ultimate revenge. So of course in Chutz La'aretz they say Naflo lo tosiv kum besulas Israel, because in the land of Chutz La'aretz, in the Tumidic filled land where Knesset Israel does not have a future. Public service announcement to Micha Horitz. We do not have a future in Chutz La'aretz, no matter which Chutz La'aretz it is. They also thought Berlin was Yerushalayim. Didn't work out so well. I'm talking to myself. Mom is talking to myself. So in Chutz La'aretz they say, in the land that is counterproductive to redemption, in the land that is not a land of Tekuma, of course they say she is fallen, she will not rise again, O virgin daughter of Israel. When Klal Yisrael comes to rise again, will it be in Bavel? No. Will it be in Australia? Will it be in Canada? Will it be in Woodmere, the ultimate rising of Israel? No, 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 no. So of course in Chutz La'aretz, Nafla lo tosif kum. When she falls, she will not continue to arise. There is no Tekuma for Klal Yisrael in Chutz La'aretz. However, let's look at the Gemara. B'ma'arava mitartzei lehachi. But in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Tekuma, in the land where Hashem will take Nekama, in the land where the Bayis Shlishi will be built, in the land where we will once again have Jewish sovereignty, Malchus Beis David, Nafla Velo Tosif Lin Pol Od. They say something totally different in Eretz Yisrael. In the land where we will rise and remain risen, where we will stand and stand forever. So the sages in Eretz Yisrael say something totally different. In the land of Geula and redemption, they say, Nafla velo tosif lin pod. Only in Eretz Yisrael are you able to say, she will not continue to fall. Kum, Besulas Yisrael. She will rise, O virgin daughter of Israel. Until Mashiach, in every land of our dispersion, in every land of our dispersion, we say, Nafla lo tosif kum. But in Eretz Yisrael, in the end of days, with the Hashpa of Kedushas Haaretz, in the land of the Avos, in the promised land, they say something totally different. Nafla lo tosif. Of course she won't continue to fall. Kum. That's where the ultimate Tekuma will be. The ultimate Tekuma will not be here. Of course it won't be here. As much as we want to think Berlin is Yerushalayim and substitute whatever city in Chutz La'aretz we think Berlin is today, the ultimate Tekuma will never be here. The Nekima that Hashem will take upon our enemies. Let's look back at the Pasuk from Hazinu. Harininu Goyim Amo, it's the last Pasuk of Hazinu. It's the final vision of the end of days. Ki dam avadav yikom, v'nakam yashiv l'tzarav, v'chiper ad maso amo. The Pasuk tells you that when the Nekama will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where will it be? Who will it be for? It will be for the Klal Yisrael and it will be for the land of Israel. It's very clear. That's where the Geula will be. That's where the Tekuma will be. But the Tekuma depends on the Nekama that Hashem will take upon our enemies. And so in the West, they say, in the end of days, the fallen will not continue. Arise, O May, O Virgin Daughter of Israel. I'm going to end this two-part shiur by quoting at the Shloshim, on the back table, his parents gave out a little pekala. I should have brought it to show you. A little pekala of different food, small little package. And the picture was a picture of Elisha Yehonatan Obert said, make a bracha l'zeichen ishmaso, botnim adama, ugiya mizonot, tamar ha'et, sukariya shahakol. And his wife gave out a plant. I didn't bring the plant home. I did bring home the pakala. But attached to the plant, she had written a note. His wife, Aviyasha Tichya, who is mamish du, Shatova, now it should be. So she gave out a note attached to the plant. Hayom Tu Bishvat. Hayom Shloshim the Kvurat Yehonatan. Today is Tu Bishvat. Today is the Shloshim of the burial of Yehonatan. Last week we quoted his brother's hasbir. Today we are ending by quoting his wife, Shatichya's note that she gave out at the Shloshim. B'yom, he was 24. But he is mixed in with the dust of Eretz Yisrael that the angel Gavriel takes up to Shemayim and puts under the throne of God. The sapphire brick, how apropos for the colors of the flag of the state of Israel. B'yom hazel of nation atayim hichlatnu lehitchatein. On this day, 2 years ago, we decided to get married. Let's say l'derech chadasha b'yachad. We decided to start a new path in life together. Hayom ani misayemet kufa shel aveilut al ha'ovdan ha'atzum shel ha'yachad shelanu al pnei ha'adama. Today I am concluding the period of mourning for this vast loss and the togetherness of us on the face of this earth. B'tu b'shvat hazeh, unlike 2 years ago when we decided to get married on Tu B'shvat, B'tu b'shvat hazeh nachnu yotzim l'derech chadasha. On this Tu B'Shvat, we are going on a new path. A new path of Yachad Chadash. Together in a new way. Milamata u'milamala. From below and from above. Yehonatan hishir lanu peirot. Remember, it's Tu B'Shvat. Yehonatan left us fruits. What fruit did Yehonatan leave? Et Nachman Yisrael, the baby. He was by the Shloshim, 11 months old. At the time of the Shloshim. Et Nachman Yisrael, u'bezrat Hashem, yalad nosaf, she'ivaleid v'yitzmach la'oro. Yehonatan left us fruits. He left his son, Nachman Yisrael, and bezrat Hashem, the additional child that will soon be born and sprout in his light. And yirotza lahazmin otcha, or otach, lintoa v'lahatzmich atzicha b'bayit u'balev m'perotav shel Yehonatan. I invite you to take this plant home. And I want you to cause to sprout and blossom by you in your home and in your heart the fruit of Yehonatan, simcha, emunah, ahava, tzichok, rigishut, ometz, amal, v'lev tov. I invite you to take on this plant, and I want you to plant it in your home, and I want you to plant it in your heart. And I want you to think of the fruits of Yehonatan, joy, faith, love, laughter, emotion, courage, toil, and a good heart. And if we continue in his path, we will cling to, and his light will continue to come to us. We are below and he is now above. Ha'adama shal eretz Yisrael, shen lema'ana hikriv Yehonatan et chayav, mechabeket oto achshav. The land, the earth of the land of Israel, for her sake, Yehonatan gave up his life. This land now hugs Yehonatan. Batamon gufo. In this land, his body is buried. Me'aleinu, but above us, heichan shetamid kivan libo, above, to where he always directed his heart, nimtzat nishmato. That's where his soul can be found. That's where his soul is found. V'anachnu nisharnu be'emtza. And we are in the middle. Yehonatan's body is being hugged by the land of Israel for which he gave his life. That is below. Yehonatan's neshama is above, like the life he always strove to live, to be a Ben Aliyah. And we are left in the middle. Im hazchut lizchor, with the merit to remember, lekayim, not only to uphold, but to rise up again, to kuma, v'la'asot, and to do. And she quotes from the pasuk, k'chu itchem mizimrat ha'aretz, which is what Yaakov Avinu said to the brothers when they were going down to visit the viceroy and buy food. He said, take with you from the bounty of the land. V'anachnu nimsharnu be'emtza, im hazchut lizkor l'kayem v'la'asot. How do we read the pasuk from Amos? It depends where you live. If you live in Chutz Lartz Taka, there's no mekima for Klal Yisrael in Chutz Lartz. You want to think there is? I'm talking to Michartz and nobody else. Go right ahead. History will prove, and it has proven time and again, that Tekuma does not happen here. So if you live in the east, meaning outside of the Eirel Yarden, what do you say? You say, Nafla lo tosif kum, besudas Yisrael. She has fallen. She will not continue to arise, the virgin daughter of Israel. But if you live in the west, west of the Jordan, if you live in Eretz Yisrael, if you live in the land where the ultimate nekama of Hashem will take place, we know, b'amuna shalema b'viyas ha-mashiach, in the end of days, God will tell the nations of the world, sing the praises of my people. Because then, dam of a dove, you come, I will take revenge for all of the fallen, all the way back to that baby in the brick that Gavriel put under the throne of the Kisei HaKavod. All the blood, all the dirt, all the toil, all the fallen, all the tears, and all the generations under the throne of the Kisei HaKavod. And that day, Hashem says, ki dam of a dove, you come, don't worry, I, Kosh Baruch Hu, will take the nekama for you. V'nakam yeshiv tzav, I will pay them back what they deserve. Where? V'chiper ad maso amo, not in Chutz La'aretz. I would take Nekama on behalf of Eretz Yisrael and Knesset Yisrael. And so, of course, b'ma'arava, in the west, they say something very, very different. Nafla lo tosif. Her falling will not continue. Kum besulas Yisrael. She will rise up and she will remain risen up forever, the virgin daughter of Israel. Take with you the fruits of Yehonatan, planted in your heart and in your home. Simcha emunah, ahavat tzichok, regishut ometz, amal v'lev tov. Anachnu nimsharnu be'emtza, imezchut lizchor, likayem.
We should be zocheh to a double order of double simcha and besuras tovos.